author of the song is up at the top. And then down at the bottom, look who has the copyright. Percy B. Crawford, 1948. John W. Peterson had been a pilot during World War II, and he had one of the most boring jobs of any pilot. He had to fly the hump. And what that was is flying from India across the Himalayas and supplying Burma, places like that, southern China. And so he would spend mindless hours flying at some of the highest altitudes, coldest temperatures, and flying those and, you know, keeping yourself awake and alert and all that kind of stuff. And he wrote that song up above the Himalayas. Okay? Took a miracle to make all this, but he thought when God saved his soul, far greater miracle than any of this. And he went then to Chicago and went to Bible college, and Percy Crawford was quite an evangelist in those days, and he bought that song from John W. Peterson for $50. And which would be the equivalent today, I looked it up the other day, about $623 of spending money today. A little bit, maybe week paycheck, something like that for some people. And now look at that song that Pastor Hain passed out this morning. Who wrote that one? John W. Peterson. Now look down at the copyright. He formed Singspiration. He never made that. It's 1949. The next year he formed Singspiration. He never made that mistake again. All right. And And he learned, all right, how to be a good steward of those things that the Lord had given him. And this particular hymn book we have, the Tabernacle Bible Publishing, Al Smith, you know who he was, quite a songster in his day. And the next generation of this one, which some people have, when I went to Gethsemane, for example, we used the next generation. That was Al Smith and John W. Peterson together, working together to put a hymnal out. But again, just a little bit of history there. You can see how that works. He was kind of a kid, sold that for $50, and all of a sudden it's popular, it's everywhere. They're still making money, that corporation, off of that song being put out there. All right. I don't know how many of you noticed, but we have a board. If you can't see it, you might want to move to where you can see it. Not that you have to, all right? And I was going to have one of the Samanthas or somebody draw something. I thought, no, I could do a far better job than anybody else could ever do. All right. Randy. All right. What I want to do, I want to talk about the word spirit today. What your spirit is, okay? And we're going to look at that. So, Kyle, would you go ahead and pray for us?
Father, I thank you. Thank you for your word. I ask that you help, Pastor, that we'd be able to see from it what it is that you'd have us to see. That echo through our week, that we wouldn't just hear it today and forgotten tomorrow. It strengthen us that we carry it into our community. In Jesus Christ's precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, can they see that?
They can.
Oh, wonderful. All right. Boy, the lucky people there. All right. We don't normally display art here. I might sell this for more than $50. All right. What I've done here, you're not going to be able to read the individual words, but here's a person, and here's the kind of things that are inside of a person. Lust, imaginations, scripture, hate, what I'm seeing, bitterness, past memories, what I'm hearing, okay? Those are the kind of things that are inside the average person, okay? And the question is, what are you concentrating on? What are you working on right now? What's on your heart? Now go with me, if you would, to Exodus 35, and we're going to go to verse 21. Exodus 35, verse 21. And it says this, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whose spirit made him willing. They brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation for all his service, for all the holy garments. Now, later on in that same chapter, we're talking about everybody whose heart made him willing. But what I want you to see is the agency of your will is your spirit. Now, I want you, and we're going to look at that as we go through this. I want you to think of this as a computer screen. And you've got maybe some game you can play or whatever else. And how would you make any of this happen on a computer screen? Well, you have a mouse. And what's the mouse do? It makes the cursor go around. I want you to think of the tip of this, which is Zane's antenna. All right. But I want you to think of the tip of this as being the cursor or your spirit. Because on that big computer screen inside of you, your spirit is the cursor. It determines, should I be thinking of scripture right now? All that's in there. You know, in your computer, you probably have financial stuff, word processor, games, pictures, maps. It's all there, but you can't concentrate all that at one, can you? So with your cursor, you click on one of them. Now that's what's up there on the screen, okay? Your spirit determines what's on the screen up here. My imaginations, what I'm hearing, past memories, bitterness, future plans, lust, hate, okay? Your spirit determines what's going to be up here on the screen. Now we're going to look at that. Go with me to Proverbs 18, verse 14. We're going to just look at a number of verses on spirit. By the way, Thursday night Bible study, we will do the book of Proverbs next. But it's going to require more of those people who are involved in it. All right. One of the things I would like is every single person involved, and you know, if you're somebody shy to the church or something like that, I understand that. I'm not going to require that if you're somebody shy to the church or whatever. But if you're somebody who's not shy to the church, I'd like you to start out with a proverb that has helped you a lot. Okay? You know, for example, I remember being a young man in the Air Force and just beginning to read the Proverbs and reading that thing that talked about he that meddleth with, you know, trouble not his own, like a man that taketh the dog by the ears. Okay, and I remember, you know, I kind of got that picture, you know, grab the dog by the ears, problem is his mouth is straight towards you or whatever, you know, you got a problem there. And I remember a couple of times thinking, I need to get involved in something. And then that proverb would hit me and I'd stand back and not get involved. And it was a real help to me. It really was. That proverb helped me at that time, okay? So I want everybody to think about that. And from time to time, we'll have you know, whether it be a 3-word or a 20-minute report, how that proverb has helped you, okay? That'll be your choice. But, all right, Proverbs 18, look at verse 14. The spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? All right, so the thing is, infirmity comes up. Lenny hurts, all right? Sharon's got a hurt hip, all right? Some of you going through sorrows in your life. By the way, Brother Mike Church, who preached here on Youth Week, his youngest son just committed suicide last week, okay? And just a grievous thing. Successful Marine, became a federal marshal, had an accident, head injury, and they said he just never got it back together after that and killed himself. So what sustains Brother Mike Church in that? His spirit, Barrett, it sustains him in a time like that, okay? Ask the Vadises what it's like when you lose your son, okay? Their spirit had to sustain them. They made their mind up what to be thinking. They could have been thinking of hate now. They could have gone ahead. I'm sure a lot of past memories, their spirit went there, okay? How could it not go there, okay? And imaginations, future plans. Their spirit sustained them through that. But a wounded spirit, what's that mean? It's not quite able to control. It doesn't have the ability to control what it goes on as much, okay? You know, we have people who come here, and you know, this church has been famous for having some people with some pretty deep troubles in life come here, okay? Wounded spirit. Samantha, remember when your spirit was so wounded, all right? And it wasn't as you're able, but it just kept drifting to stuff, just drifting to stuff, drifting there. And, you know, and it's very hard, okay, when that goes on, okay? What is that? Your personal will, your spirit keeps coming down here, somebody's preaching on this, and, you know, you're thinking of your imaginations or whatever, and you just don't have the same ability because you're wounded, okay? And everybody understands that. All right, go to Proverbs chapter 25, and we're going to look at verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. In those days, how many times did you read here where an enemy would be around a city and they're around the walls there, okay? I was reading, there's a tremendous book about the history of Ohio and the Ohio River. It's called That Dark and Bloody River. And they talk about Wheeling, West Virginia, the fort that was there, and how many times that fort saved everybody from being burned alive and, you know, the Indians coming in and ravishing the women and, you know, kidnapping the children and you know, those walls there. And they'd go for a month when Indians are outside, whatever food you have in there. But if those walls were broken down, there was no hope, okay? They would have just come in, overwhelmed them, done whatever they wanted to them, okay? So the thing is, a man that can't rule his own spirit. What's that mean? You're sitting here and you just can't stop yourself. Okay? You can't stop yourself from just thinking about lust or past things or imaginations and that kind of stuff. The devils run you. Okay? They can do with you whatever they want to do because you can't control what you think about. You can't control what your mind is on. You can't control that. Okay? So you're like that city broken down without walls. You're just taken captive all the time. Now, all of us have times like that. Yeah. All right? There's everybody that has those times or just for whatever reason, okay? You can't sustain yourself. That's one of the things you watch. Zane's actually trained himself. He'll get sleepy and mind up. He'll stand up for a while or whatever. You know, that's not a dumb thing to do, okay? I myself, you'll often watch me put a lozenge or something like that in my mouth. I have a terrible time concentrating on anything going on in front of me. I just have a terrible time with it. My wife will tell you, we'll be watching a movie or show together. And if I don't have the news on at the same time or whatever, I can't even concentrate on the show. You know, so I've just had to learn things that I've got to do to make myself not be those walls all broken down, all right, where just anything can take me over. All right. Go with me, if you would, to Isaiah 26. And look at verse 9. I had all my children memorize Isaiah 26 one time. It's a powerful chapter, but it says this in verse 9, with my soul have I desired thee in the night. That's that desire. Boy, I wish I had Jesus, all right? You know, and again, that thing that Samantha's actually the one that wrote that, about that idea, would you want Jesus if there was no hell? But the fellas worked with that, okay? And, you know, just asking that question, just for the sake of Jesus himself, would you want that? And you know, the thing is, it's a good thing to desire Jesus Christ. It's a good thing to have that desire. But going on a little bit more, it says this. With my soul have I desired thee tonight, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. So your willingness, your spirit, you made your mind up. Not only will I desire him, but I'm going to be seeking him. Now, what will that be? Well, that's going to be scripture, okay? I'm going to be thinking about that scripture. What about a person there's no scripture whatsoever in their life? Well, Jesus Christ is the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world, but there's no words to it. There's no words. It doesn't mean anything to them. And that's why the preacher has to go give words to that light. Mm-hmm. Okay? The words of the Holy Ghost are what the Spirit needs to be thinking about. And with my spirit will I seek thee early. With my will, I'm going to see to it that that's what I'm thinking about. That's what I'm working on the inside, seeking. Okay? Go with me to Matthew 5. We're going to go to verse 3. Matthew 5, verse 3 says this: Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. What's it mean to be poor in spirit? Well, there's a lot of people with their will who are pretty haughty and build up on themselves and love to think their imaginations, the glory of what they can do, future plans, the glory of what they can do, what I'm seeing, they're judging it in their own way or whatever else, what I'm hearing, they're judging it, you know, based on their own selves and, you know, the past memories, all that kind of thing. In other words, they're kind of stuck on themselves. But that person who's poor in spirit, who doesn't have a great value of their own ideas and their own self, doesn't have that. You know, one of the problems that comes on, I told a girl in this church recently, you have to make up your mind between your counselors and the Word of God. Your counselors are trying to tell you you're some great thing. All right? The Word of God's not trying to tell you some great thing, okay? Trying to put you down on the level where you're supposed to be. Yeah. And then He builds you up to where you're supposed to be, okay? They try to get you built up in your own mind, and you walk around built up in your own mind. And it's a contradiction. It's miserable. All right? It's an awful way. Far better to go into this thing poor, okay? Poor. My future plans would be no good without Jesus Christ, okay? My imaginations, okay? They'll mess me up without Jesus Christ. My past memories, how awful it was, those things I did without Christ. What I'm hearing, how much I need Christ. Scripture blesses the poor in spirit. Okay, they go into that thing with that attitude. That's their will, is their attitude in that thing. Go with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 9. The Apostle Paul says this: For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Okay? I've always loved that, making mention, because there's so many people that I pray for that, to be honest with you, I have trouble. I know people who spend 8-9 hours a day in prayer. I'm not one of those, okay? I make mention of people in my prayers. You know, it's interesting also, though, because I have a list and I go through one at a time. Today, for example, was Willie O'Dell, and I pull him out, and he's the man that I prayed for at length today, okay? Tomorrow will be his wife, but I've mentioned them. I go through them all every day, and then I'll go through each one and pull one out every day that I spend more time on that person and pray for that person. And then, of course, when you know things are going on in their lives, or when the Spirit of God impresses you. But nevertheless, Paul said, I serve God with my spirit. What's that mean? My will concentrates on those things that make me serve God. He talked about how at one time he served with his flesh, circumcision, Sabbaths, what he ate, how he dressed. He said, but we who have known Christ after the flesh, henceforth know we him no more. That's not how I want to know. I'm not going to know him in circumcision. I'm not going to know him in Sabbaths. I'm not going to know him in holy days. I'm not going to know him in how I dress. I'm going to know him through the Spirit of God. And I'm going to know him through my own spirit and how I'm going to serve him. And that's a willful thing. Okay? By the way, what are some hints to help you with that? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making sweet melody in your heart unto the Lord. They're such a help at a time like that when your mind wants to be on every other foolish thing in the world. Okay? Now, I was talking with Timothy, but this will really go to just about everybody here. So often people get this idea of this browbeat guilt idea, I need to serve God. Okay? Now you need to serve God. But God forbid it be browbeating and guilt that makes you do it.
Yeah.
Okay? God forbid. Brother McVeigh says this. He said about 80% of all altar calls are service. You're not doing enough for God. And he goes, and you know, he's before, you know, probably 5-10 years ago, he was probably in preaching almost every night of his life. Okay, somewhere, going to different place. And he said, good preaching. And then they always hammered up with service, 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 service. And he says, most of the people in the church are just wore out. They're just wore out, okay? They've just done so much, they're just wore out. And that idea, instead, how much better to learn to serve God with your spirit, your willingness. And so I told Timothy, don't be running around, oh, I got to do this for the Lord. Get your house. Work your job. Get your wife. And let God call you from that.
Amen.
Don't be driven from that. Let God call you from that. All right? And there's men that God calls from that. He calls them. Come, come, do this, okay? Do this. And I'm glad you guys have made yourselves there. And through the local church, you get called to do different things, okay? And I'm glad you do it. Okay? This morning when I asked for someone, Charity came up and said, I'll do the month of February. I could see that on her face when I was saying it, okay? That just struck her. And again, I don't want somebody to do it who is just going to be a pain in the butt to go down there and work with the ladies, all right? But you know what? For 4 weeks, you can put up with people like me, all right? Coming and eating the food you put out there, all right? And, you know, but I was glad. Samantha was just glad to do it, you know, for the next 2-3 weeks or doing it. Charity's glad to do it in the month of February. And we'll look for a lady who just feels like, gosh, I could do that in the month of April. You know, I'd be glad to do it. And again, I don't want the older women, all right? I don't care if you help on the special nights or something like that. We're looking for the younger ones, all right? All right. Now, go with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself, because it's really not talking about the person himself. It's talking about the spirit of the person. Okay? I could be talking about the spirit of Stephen and call it an it. Okay?
Right.
All right? But it's his spirit. Here we're dealing with the spirit of the Father, actually, in this particular place, because it's the spirit of adoption, which is giving you that assurance that you're going up in the rapture. You will go. There's no, you belong to me. I will adopt you. I will make you my own. Your body will be my body. I'm going to make it that way, okay? But it beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How does he do that? Well, here's the thing. Your spirit at any given time can be thinking about things it hates, okay? Your spirit at any given time can be concentrating on lust. By the way, we call that an unclean spirit, okay? And there are people who get trapped where they're wounded in spirit and it keeps going to lustful things, okay? And that's one of the great crimes of the porn industry today. So many men are just crippled with that pornography, just crippled with it, okay? Your spirit could be thinking of future plans. Your spirit could be thinking about what you're seeing. Your spirit could be thinking about its own bitterness. It could be thinking about past memories. You're making the choice what you click on. You're making the choice what's going to go on up here. That's your choice. You're going to click. Your cursor is going to go through that and say, I want my imaginations right now. Click, 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 and that's what you're going to be doing. Preaching might be going on. Your wife might be talking to you, all right? You know, your spouse might be talking to you, but you're thinking about some other thing, all right, at the time. So you make that choice, but let me tell you something. There's more than one spirit in you. There's more than one cursor in you. That spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, he's trying to do some clicking, okay? He's trying to make you think about imagination when the preaching's going on, okay? Sorry. He's trying when, you know, you're trying to, you know, make up with your wife, get you lusting after some other thing, okay? He's clicking on it. And you better be aware that's going on. But one of the beauties to salvation is the seven spirits of God come into you like an Israeli commando team. What do you mean by that? Watch the movie sometime, Radon and TB. Okay, Pastor Hain and some of the older ones, you remember when Flight 741 out of Athens got kidnapped by Palestinian terrorists, And they flew it to Uganda, the Entebbe airport, because Idi Amin was secretly in cahoots with the PLO. And there they sat. Here's all these Jews sitting there. One day, Israeli commandos just took the plane. They landed on that tarmac. They came there as swift as could be. They came through every door, and every terrorist was shot dead. And next thing you know, there's an Israeli sitting in the captain's seat. There's an Israeli standing there and soothing people, and terrorists are laying dead on the floor and everything else. And you want to know something? You sit there when you were lost. That spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience was messing with you. The spirit of error was in you. The spirit of slumber was in you. All these spirits were working in you. And that, and then one day, Jesus Christ stepped in, and the seven spirits of God went, and they began to take over things in your life, all right? Began to take that over. They began to rule, and suddenly those terrorists are laying there dead, as long as you let them be dead.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay? You have a choice what you're gonna give yourself over to. That's your choice. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now, if I were to take Nate and Neil and stand each one of them up there, and we could do an x-ray where we could see their insides like we see this man's inside. Now, nobody would ever want to go through that. All right, God forbid. All right. By the way, the great white throne judgment, you don't get to keep it secret anymore. So even the thoughts and intentions of your heart are revealed. Okay. Everyone will see what you were thinking and why you did what you did, all right? But regardless of that, the only one who really knows what's going on inside of this guy is him. He's the only one who knows what those past, we have an idea of some of the past memories. We have some idea of kind of what he's hearing. And by the way, do you realize not everybody hears the same thing?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I tell so many of you, communication isn't what you say, it's what the other person's hearing, okay? If you want to communicate, you better be able to make them hear what you want them to hear. And not everybody hears the same way, okay? And if you were going to be a communicator, you better know how to make them hear what you're saying. What I'm seeing, not everybody sees the same thing. You know, Dale Morey wears cheap reading glasses. He does it because he can't see the Bible without them. But then when he comes out and starts preaching, he can't see the people, so he takes them off. We had a lady here, I found out far too late, thought he was doing it to intimidate. Because there's men who do that. They take their glasses off if they're getting ready to fight you. Okay? You're getting ready to be serious. And far too late, I found out she doesn't come here anymore. She thought every time that he was doing that to intimidate people. Okay? And yet, all I was doing was trying to see them. And again, that's sad when you hear that, all right? We were all seeing the same thing, but she wasn't seeing what we were seeing, was she? All right? We were seeing a guy too cheap to get regular glasses, all right? All right, she was seeing a guy threatening to beat people up. All right. So the thing is, only this guy really knows what's on inside of him. But the Bible says, even so, the Spirit of God knows the things that are in God. Can you imagine if we were put God up here, right? What's in him? The glories and the holiness and the love and the long-suffering and all the scriptures, and God knows those things. And you know what he said? He put his spirit inside of you. So that while he's thinking about things inside of himself, you can think about them at the same time. Okay? You ever been on your screen and called for support somewhere, Microsoft or something like that, and you know you called for support and they take over your screen for you for a little bit and do something? That's what God wants to do with you.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay? That's what God wants to do. And by the way, I think everybody's read scriptures had those moments where suddenly it just came alive. There's just an understanding in that wasn't there before. Mm-hmm. Okay? What is that? That's 1 Corinthians 2:11, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are given to us of God. His Spirit's in you, and he's highlighting that stuff. He's showing you that stuff. By the way, that's why it's so important to fill your life with Scripture.
Amen.
Those are God's words. You want God to talk to you, and he's got a limited vocabulary of how to talk to you. Who did that? The book of Isaiah says, "Ye have limited the Holy One of Israel." You did it. You did it. You don't have enough scripture in there for God to even teach you. You know, just to give you an idea, some while ago, I wanted to help somebody. And the Spirit of God, it seemed to me for sure, the Spirit of God wanted me to help this person. But it was going to involve me putting some money on a credit card because I didn't have the money to help them. And it was significant enough. I was going to put it on a credit card. And the thought came to me, well, that isn't very godly. You're not helping a person if you're going into debt to do it. And you know what immediately came to me was the story of the Good Samaritan. What did he say? And if he owes further, I will pay it. He went into debt for the man. Went into debt for the man. And instantly, the Spirit of God gave me, out of nowhere, those verses just played in my heart. And just with complete contentment, I was able to go there and swipe that card and take care of some burdens that person had and take it over. But what if I hadn't read the story of the Good Samaritan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? How would God have showed me that? Then I would have been in doubt and all that kind of stuff and wondering. So the more scripture you give yourself, the more words you're giving God to speak to you. God isn't going to speak to you in signs and wonders, okay? That's not going to happen, all right? There's times when God will string some circumstances together or whatever, and they may go along with the will of God, but don't ever be deceived looking for circumstances.
Amen.
Okay? That you get some mess. Right? There, you know, there's that idea of Gideon put a fleece out. Okay, he puts it out, but the fleece is wet and the ground is dry, and then he wasn't sure of that. All right, so tomorrow I want the fleece dry, the ground wet. That's to the Jew. Bill Randall had a friend one time, said, I put a fleece out and the devil went potty on it. And he didn't say it that nice. But all right, but the idea is, you've got the word of God, okay? You take the word of God and you learn. By the way, that's what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says. Present your body as sacrifice to God, okay? Spiritual sacrifice unto God. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you might prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Well, how does that do that? You know why? Because when you're presenting your body like it's supposed to be, and you're not conformed to this world, you're sensitive to what the Spirit of God's telling you.
Yeah.
Okay? You don't have all these other signals in there. You know, I remember as a kid, I used to be able to get KDKA out of Pittsburgh on a little tabletop radio, kitchen radio, plastic radio. Remember, they'd have a clock on this side and an alarm or whatever on it, and I'd sneak that thing up there because I could listen to the Pittsburgh Pirate games when I was supposed to be in bed, all right? And the thing is, it would come in and out, you know, and Willie Stargell comes up to the Manny Sanguian's on second base now. You know, all these other signals are coming in. And so with all my heart, I'm trying to listen to what, you know, Bob Prince was the announcer. I was there. I was listening the time he said, Willie Stargell owned a big chicken stand in Pittsburgh. And he said, if Willie hits a home run here, the chicken's on me. It cost him a lot of money that night. Willie put it over the wall, all right? And, you know, I was listening when it happened, all right? But the thing is, there was a lot of interference trying to listen to KDKA on that stupid little radio, okay? It didn't come in well. And the thing is, God's trying to talk to you, and all this other stuff's trying to work as interference, okay? But you know what the thing was? I used to stand there and I'd try so hard to just pinprick, get that just right. You know what I do now? With my spirit, I am willing to have God speak to me. So, and I have rule over my spirit. I'm not like that city that's broken down without walls. I'm not a wounded spirit. So I'm going to have some control over what goes on here if I want to have the control.
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay? And there's all sorts of things that were given to me to help with that. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, you go to verse 8 and 9, he tells you what kind of things to be thinking about. If there's any virtue, any praise, he's showing you. Think about those things, okay? Just today, I had a horror thought. A horror, something that terrifies me. There's not much that terrifies me for whatever reason. It just pleased the devil to give me a horror thought today. And I had to go and be thinking of good things and just told the Lord, you know, let's just think of some things that are right. Well, probably pay attention to Pastor Hain. That might help a lot, all right? You know, as far as what he's bringing. But that's what you do. You learn to control with your spirit, which makes you willing to what you're going to do here. That's your choice. It's the cursor, what you're going to click on that big computer of all the old memories in your life, all the old hatreds, all the old bitternesses, all the imaginations, all the good things, all the bad things. You have the choice of what you're going to be thinking about. Mm-hmm. What's going to be up here on the main screen? That's your choice.
That's good.
Go to 1 Corinthians 14. Look at verse 32. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Why did he have to say that? Because in those days, they didn't have completed scripture, and they'd have a church service, mm-hmm. and if a person got a prophecy, he was to stand up and say what his prophecy was. Okay? Now, if you've ever seen a charismatic meeting, all right, they all get up, you know, all this kind of stuff, as if they can't help it. That's the first thing, you know, it's false, it's phony. Because if a prophet really has something, his spirit is in his control. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, okay? You control your own spirit. I don't even care, even when God's taking you over, as those prophets. Amen. All right? And when God's taking you over, you're in control. Okay? You're in control. God left it that way and made you to know that so that you knew that. I'm not going to turn to the two places, but Proverbs 17:22 talks about a broken spirit who can bear. Can you imagine if that spirit lost its ability where to go? I don't know if you ever had a cursor that didn't work right. It's just drifting all around the screen. You go to click on this and it clicks on that over there, all right? That's a broken spirit. They lost control. We call that mental illness, okay? Deep depression. They're trying to think about this stuff and all they can do is think about these past memories. All they can think about is old hatreds. Old bitternesses, it's out of their control now. It's just drift, that curse is drifting around, okay? Out of control. But you want to know something? Your Bible says the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. So there's two ways the spirit can be broken. It can be broken by sin and destruction and hatred and misery. Or you can allow the Holy Ghost to come up and break your grip on yourself with the word of God and holiness.
Yeah.
Or for once you realize, I just screwed up everything I've ever touched. And understand that only God can take it over.
That's good.
Okay? Pastor Hain, Zane, thank you for that. That was wonderful.